Well, I'm going to share something today. About 3 weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, I don't know, I guess this is how God works with me when I'm waking up out of a sleep, in the, you know, good night's sleep or not so good night's sleep, whatever it is, when I'm waking up, he'll speak to me and I'll begin to hear and see things. I think sometimes when your mind is quiet, that you hear clearer and you can begin to see and hear clearer. And sometimes when you've had, you know, regardless of how much sleep you've had, your mind is quiet or quieter. And so I kept hearing him say this, and I could hear it. He will never forget. I kept hearing that. He will never forget. And of course, you know, a number of scriptures came to my mind, and I began to just put some notes together a few weeks ago on that, and I shared this in Nanuet a week or so ago. But I thought, and when I heard that, I wasn't thinking natural. I'm hearing something from the Spirit of God. And what was it, last week? I think, yeah, last week, I'm coming into church Sunday morning. And now today, this is 21 years ago, this is the anniversary, you could say, of 9/11. And so, you know, this is a significant day, you know. Most of us, well, if you were born, I know exactly where I was and what I was doing on that day. And I was looking at the TV. I happened to be home that day. It was on a Tuesday. And I remember that day. And I wasn't at the church. I was home. And, but here's the thing that was interesting. I'm coming into to church last Sunday, and I'm seeing a sign right near where I live. We will never forget. And I almost drove off the road. I'm like, my God. I said, you just changed we to he. And he will never forget. But guess what? Men do forget. Men do forget. And over time, even with 9/11, the sting and the significance of that can begin to wane some. Now, those that might have been personally involved, you know, over time, you know, those memories begin to fade some. But he is the only one that will never forget. We may forget, but he never forgets. And it begin to think about the things that God has spoken, things that he's spoken to each of us. He's a faithful God, and he's faithful to his word. He watches over his word to perform it, and he will never forget. He's what? A covenant-keeping God, and he keeps covenant to 1,000 generations. So one of the things that just stirred me is that a lot of times we go through life and we think God forgot. Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't forget. If he said it, the people that forget is us. And we need to remind ourselves that God is faithful, and what he said will come to pass. And if he said something to you or put something in your heart, you hold on to that. You hold, and just like it said, he never leave you nor forsake you. Some translation says he holds a grip on you. So he's holding tightly on you. We need to do the same regarding what he shared with us. Hold tightly to the things that he shared. never lose a grip on that. Never let that go, oh, well, maybe he meant something else. No, you know, I've made those mistakes in life. When he's spoken to me and said something, sometimes I've said, well, maybe he didn't mean that. And it comes to pass, and it was exactly what he said. So God will fulfill and bring to pass exactly what he said. And we need to stir ourselves up and remember that. And, you know, regarding the things that, you know, when we, in this earth, when we say we'll never forget, well, you know, we should honor. And we should, you know, give honor to those that gave their lives, you know, whether it was, you know, whatever battle or something. And in this case, you know, it was 9/11. We should honor them. There were men and women that lost their lives saving others. But where we're concerned, we need to never forget that God is a faithful God. He's a good God, and he's a faithful God. And just as we were singing this morning, his thoughts are what? Not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And just as what it says, as the rain cometh down and returns not thither or doesn't go back, it says, so shall my what? My words be that come out of my mouth, they'll not return unto me void. They'll produce. So we need to just remember that God is watching over us. He has a tight grip on us, and he has he's watching over us. Now, you know, some of the things that got me looking at just what the Lord had spoken was when we look in society and we look around us today, I was reminded of a few scriptures, and we'll just look briefly here. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 3. It says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times. And, you know, I stop and say, yeah, regardless of the times and the difficult times, God is faithful. And he will watch over us, and he will protect us regardless. And it says here, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Well, we see that going on already. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And it concludes with, stay away from people like that. Now, that doesn't mean isolate yourself from people like that. You're going to be around them. What it means is don't pal around with them. Don't hang out with them. That's really what it means. You present the gospel to them. You walk in love towards people that act like this because God paid a price for their souls and their spirit. But Matthew 24 and verse 12, 13, and 14, this is Jesus speaking here. In Matthew 24, I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. It says, there will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. Interesting. That means don't get caught up with the world and its thinking. Don't forget that God lives in you. His spirit lives in you. Don't forget his word. Don't forget that God is faithful. It says, but keep your hope to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance. Yet through it all, this joyful assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God, and after this, the end of this age will arrive. I believe that society is on a march and getting darker and darker and darker, and we should be getting closer and closer to God and let our passion burn such that we do what? Shine brighter and brighter and brighter in this society that we live. Not embrace the things that they're embracing, but keep our hearts in tune with God. What does that mean? Stay in fellowship with him. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Feed upon the word of God. Keep your heart full of the love of God and don't grow cold. That's what this is saying. Because of the increase of sin and lawlessness, those whose hearts once burned for passion for God will grow cold. What does that mean? They've gotten caught up in things in the world and they've gotten away from fellowship with God and fellowship with his word and fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and their hearts become cold. Well, we don't want that. Nobody intentionally does that. Sometimes people just start moving, you know, they just say, well, you know, I'm too busy. I got too much stuff going on. I don't have time for this. I don't have time to pray in the Spirit. I don't have time to read the Word. I don't have time to do this. That's dangerous territory. That's dangerous territory. That we get so busy that we're busy and get ourselves away from fellowship with God. Pray in the Spirit. So, for the scripture, Psalm 89:34, it says, I'm reading the New International Version, it says, I will not violate my covenant, and then it says here, or alter what my lips have uttered. I like that. It says, I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. If he said it, you know, so often through the years, Brother Hagin said this, he said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I know through the years, Pastor Sarah's altered, she said, God said it, that settles it, and I believe it. Well, however you say it, for me, if God said it, I believe it, and when it says that, settle it, me settling it doesn't, it's not going to alter anything. What it's going to do is, I'm settled. I believe it, and that settles it. So I still like to say, God said it, and I believe it. And that settles it for me. So we need to have that same heart and mind. But God is faithful. First Corinthians 1 and 9 in the Amplified, it says, God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise. He can be depended on. By him you were called into companionship and participation with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the same, just a few chapters over, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, this is the New Living Translation. It says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure, right? So when stuff gets to the place where you're like, ah, he will show you a way out. He will show you how to walk through that situation. He's going to show you. But I like in the Strong's Concordance, the word faithful says persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties, worthy of trust. God is faithful. He watches over his word to perform it. It will not return void. This is the theme that God kept speaking. He will never forget. He will never forget. And sometimes when we're walking through life, it's just your mind and your body and your flesh and your soul. Sometimes it's not unnatural to say, I wonder if he forgot. Now, I understand that's not faith talking, because faith is what? Confident. If I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, whatsoever I ask, I have the petitions that I desired of him. 1 John 5:14 and 15. That's faith. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But your mind can say, you ain't getting that. Your mind will tell you that. Your mind will talk and say, you might as well pack it up and leave. This that you're what did it say, whistling Dixie. You're not that's not happening. But God is faithful to his word. He's faithful. So if whatever it is, whatever I'm walking through, I've got to have that heart and mind that he will never forget what I'm walking through. He will never forget his word. And I have that comfort and that assurance, right? I have that assurance that God is faithful. God will never forget. Never. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 and 24. In the New Living, it says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. He's faithful. You know, I was looking at meditating on a scripture the other morning, and familiar scripture, but it's so good, and it got me to thinking about the theme that the Lord spoke. He will never forget. What other things won't he forget? He won't forget the blood. He looks over at the mercy seat. He sees the blood. He'll never forget the blood. He'll never forget that it was in whom we have what? Redemption through what? His blood. But this scripture I was meditating on the other morning, that he will never forget you were bought with a price. He's not going to forget that. I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. He's not going to forget that. Don't we dare forget that. Because the devil will try to make you think that he's somehow forgotten that. That's why it's so important to meditate on the scriptures, because it's watering. It's watering the seed that's in my spirit. And I like this. This is, I'll read it in the King James, but I really want to read it in the Passion Translation. It says in the King James, what? Know ye not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. What is your body? Which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Verse 20. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So I don't own myself. He's not going to forget that. He owns us. We are the body of Christ. How on earth could he forget that? He's the head. Do you forget your hand or your foot or your leg? Or you don't go, where's my foot? You know where it is. He's not going to forget that we're purchased. And I like this in the Passion Translation. It says, have you forgotten? See, I like the way this says this. He will never forget. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer. For the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then, use your body to bring glory to God. See, we're stewards over our body and our soul. He owns us. And we need never forget that. He's never going to forget that I'm his. You don't forget what you own. Where's my stuff? Where's my house? Where's my car? Where's my clothes? Where's my stuff? You know exactly where it is. You own it. You don't forget that. You know, 10 years can go by and you can go, yeah, I know where it is. And you go get it. Right? Same with God. He will never forget. We've been purchased. And we need to remind the devil that when he comes with his baggage, we need to get up and say, you don't own me, buddy. You don't own me. I'm his. Leave in the name of Jesus. We've been given stewardship and authority to tell him to leave. He doesn't own us. God owns us. He owns this body. So when he wants to put sickness on it, you go, you're not welcome here. You are trespassing. God owns this body, and in the name of Jesus, you leave. And that's the authority that we've been given in him, in Christ. And he's not going to forget that. And that's the thing. We may forget and not exercise our authority, but he won't. And he's not going to do it for us. We have to. We are what? The ones that are managing our body. We're the ones that have been given dominion and authority in his name here in this earth. But just that scripture got me stirred this week because I just, it says, have you forgotten? Some have, that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you. God lives in me now. So there's just some things that I'm not going to do. There's some things I'm just not going to do anymore because the Spirit of God lives in me now. He's taken up residence. And the devil is off limits. See, that's when that scripture, where is that? 1 Corinthians, let me just look that up here. First, we can all look it up. I believe it's 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, Colossians. I keep saying 1 Corinthians. Colossians chapter 1, and I believe it's 13. Yeah. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 13, jump over there. And this scripture, familiar scripture, what does it say? It says, well, I'll back up and read 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be what? Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath, so he's not going to, he's already delivered us from the power of darkness. You know what that word power is? Authority. He has delivered us from the authority of Satan. We now have a new master. His name is Jesus. And that's when it says, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son, of his dear Son. So we've been delivered from the power, or it says, you know, in the Greek, it's exousia, that word. And it means delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, power, right. He don't have any rights to us anymore. We've been delivered from his authority. God now owns me. And I have now been given the charge of and given authority over my body and my mind and my soul. And so that's stirred me up, because he entered once, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. It says, and he has entered once and forever into the holiest sanctuary of all, not with the blood of animal sacrifices, but with the sacred blood of his own sacrifice. He alone has made our salvation secure forever. He's not going to forget that. He's not going to forget what Jesus paid, because it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God. So he will never forget. I just love that. Whenever things pile up, things can pile up in life, and our emotions can sometimes get the better of you. You need to get those under control and remind your emotions and your soul that God owns me. He cares for me. He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. And whatever it is I'm facing, that's what it says, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, says that no matter what I face, the temptations, it says, God is faithful and will not allow you to do what? Allow a temptation or a circumstance to be more than you can handle or stand. He's going to show you a way to endure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So one of the things, let's go over, it's a familiar scripture in Hebrews 10:23. You know, we're familiar with that in the King James. It says, let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And then it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. But I like this in the Passion Translation. It says, so now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. So that's, for me, just a simple thing, but so profound. God always keeps his promises. And we need to remind ourselves. That's why sometimes it's, to me, it's so valuable to make a habit of confessing the scriptures, confessing them out loud so you can hear them, And you make those professions of faith. I am this. I am this. Say what God says about you through the day and when things are good and when they're not good. Make those statements because it'll keep you steady. It'll keep your heart connected with God. It'll keep your heart not getting cold, you see. So it's good to confess the word of God. Hebrews, and this is the New Living Translation, Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us hold tightly. See, hold tightly. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. See, that's what I just got done saying. Hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. That means whatever I'm confessing, I hold tightly to that. Then it goes on, it says, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. See, a lot of times we confess the word, our hearts are stirred, there's confidence and assurance there, but then time passes and things don't look like they're changing. Things that you've professed concerning the word of God, you're going, I don't see it. Where is it? It says here, God, what does it say in the New Living? It says, God can be trusted to keep his promise. So we need to have that same assurance. I know, let me read this in Romans, you know, when it says he can be trusted. Let me look it up here. In Romans chapter 3, I didn't put that down, but I believe it's in it's at the beginning of the chapter in Romans chapter 3, the first few verses. It says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Well, let me read this in the Passion Translation. It says, so then what is the importance of circumcision? And what advantage is there of being a Jew? Actually, there are numerous advantages. Most important, God distinguished the Jews from all other people by entrusting them with the revelation of his prophetic promises. Verse 3. But what if some were unfaithful to their divine calling? Does their unbelief weaken God's faithfulness? And what's the answer in verse 4? Absolutely not. God will always be proven faithful and true to his word, while people are proven to be liars. This will fulfill what was written in the scriptures. Your words will always be vindicated, and you will rise victorious when you are being tried by your critics. So no matter what people think or say, God will be proven to be faithful. He will watch over his word to perform it. And so no matter what people say is what we were reading, they'll scoff at God, they'll make all kinds of disparaging remarks, oh, you holy rollers, whatever. God is faithful. And if he said it, it'll come to pass. And I'm not budging. And I'm going to see him bring it to pass, right? That's why sometimes It's just something how God works with me. He's put those prophecies given to this ministry. It's just there that he will bring them to pass. And sometimes, you know, we get 20, 25, 30 years down the road and you go, I remember it like yesterday that I was sharing. This was somewhere around 2010, somewhere around there. I kept hearing in my heart, go pull the prophecy from, I heard it. Go pull the prophecy in archive, because we have an archive room. Go pull the prophecy from Dr. Price from 1990. I was running sound. I don't remember. So I asked the lady who was overseeing that, I said, go up in the archive room, go to the folder it's in and pull that meeting and listen to the tape. There's a prophecy on it. And when she did, I almost fell off my seat. And I said, ouch. I said, wow, God was trying to convey something. He wanted to say something. And remind me to remind the congregation of what God's intentions were, what he had said through Dr. Price at that time in 1990. Don't forget it. He will never forget. Take hold of it. And so at that time, and it still stirs me, because a lot of times you look, you go, why do we need to sell this? You know, he's talking about the property in Nanuet. And you go, but he knows something we don't know. He sees something we don't see. And that's why it's important. He will bring it to pass. Whether it's personal to you or something that he's revealing concerning the ministry or some direction in your life, never lose grip. Hold tightly to it. Don't lose hope. He will never forget. You know, I mean, I'm not impressed to play that now. If you want to hear it, I'll play it after the service. I can play it. And you can listen to Dr. Price share that. It's like 5 minutes, 6 minutes. You know, it's powerful. It's significant to the ministry here. And he's saying, don't forget that. I'm going to bring that to pass. And it's like the things that he's spoken over this property. He's going to bring them to pass. People come and go. People have all kinds of ideas. But his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts and ways are higher than mine. Thank God. He will never forget. And he will not what? Alter the thing that's come out of his mouth. He's going to bring it to pass. And so I just rejoice at that, you know, in thinking about this particular day that we commemorate and we say, we are not going to do something. We are not going to forget, but we do. He never forgets. And even when we do, he'll go, remember I said that? Oh, yes. Sorry, Lord. Thank you for reminding me. He never forgets. Same thing. When it says in the scripture, I mean, all the scriptures you can think of, he'll never forget. Who's keeping account of your giving? He ain't forgetting it. That's why I say, you know, people go, they're lackadaisical about, well, maybe I'll give, maybe I won't give. Not good thinking. It's not good thinking. Because he said, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. And then it says, as you purpose to give, he's not going to make us. See? But he said, I'm not going to alter the thing that's come out of my mouth. He's going to bring it to pass. So somebody in heaven is keeping the books and keeping a record of what I've given from my heart and sown, not just money, but my giving of my time and all the things that you do for him at his direction. He's keeping account of it. And he's not going to forget. Isn't that what the scripture, somebody help me, it says that in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, then thieves can't break in. Yes, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. They're keeping a record of it. Heaven is. And we can draw on that. He's not going to forget. So that's why when we go and we say, Lord, I want to draw on my account. Well, we have a right to, right? We have a right to. You know, Pastor Sarah used to say it, you know, don't eat your seed or you know, you stick in a, where does it say in Malachi? Let's turn over there. I think isn't that in Malachi chapter 3 where it talks about doth a man what? Rob God, right? But you've robbed me with what? Your tithes and offerings. So again, you know, he places, it's a holy thing. That's all we're really saying. His word is holy. His ways are holy. His promises are holy. They're divine, and he's not going to forget them. And we should not take it lightly. Not just take lightly his promises, but take it lightly the fact that he'll never forget. Don't take that lightly. Don't take it lightly. You know, I was thinking, I'm not going to look at that because I'm going to look at that on your own time, but look at Matthew chapter 12. In verse 36 and 37. You can look at it in whatever translation you're looking at. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. But it talks about idle words, you know, non-productive words. Who's keeping a record of that? If we're going to be held accountable for it, that means it's like what did they say years ago, that sportscaster, let's run the videotape. Let's play the videotape. Was that Warner Wolf? Well, no, Warner Wolf used to do that on one of the news. Let's go to the videotape. Yeah, he may have too. Right. Whoever. Somebody is keeping a heavenly video of everything that we've said, right? So he's not going to forget because what does it say? It says, I'm reading the New Living. It says, And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So that means we're going to have to give an account. He's not going to forget. He's not going to forget the things that we say in a rash, you know, and just that they're idle, which means non-productive. What does that mean? They didn't produce. It's just stuff coming out of our mouth. And we're going to be held accountable for it. So he's not going to forget. But he's also not going to forget the things that we said that produced, because he's going to respond, right? He's the one that's going to make it come to pass. So I just share that today to stir our hearts. It stirred me a couple of weeks ago when I heard it. He will never forget, because sometimes we need to be reminded. We need to be stirred in our hearts that he never forgets. And the thing is to go back and walk through the scriptures of how faithful he is. He's faithful. And he watches over his word to perform it. His word, Psalm 118 or 119:89. His word is what? Forever settled in heaven. So many scriptures that point to his faithfulness and to his word being faithful. Yeah. But again, go back and meditate on those things. Think about it. Look up other scriptures. These are just some that stirred my heart. You know, think about another scripture. This came to my thinking in Luke chapter 10, familiar scripture. I'll read it in the King James. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, 19 and 20. It says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power," or that word is authority. "I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." He's not going to forget that. He owns us. He owns us. And the devil knows it. He knows it. He knows that you're owned. You're property of the Lord. He just wants us to forget it and to walk like mere men, to walk carnally and to embrace all this goofiness in the world. God is wanting us to do just like we sang in that song. We will go up higher. We will come higher. We're going to think higher. We're going to walk higher in this earth and not think like mere people that are just caught up in life. Yeah, we go through life, but God will show us a way to live above all of it and live and walk through it successfully. Let me read this in the Passion Translation, Luke chapter 10, verse 18 through 20. This is the Passion, and I like reading because it's more of a modern English. It says, "Jesus replied, while you were ministering, I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom." Boy, I mean, how much plainer do you get than that? He's given us all of his authority to do what? Trample over his kingdom. "You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority." Who does? As you walk in this authority. "However, your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority." Our names are written in heaven. And because of that, we've been given his authority. And we are not to fear. You know, the devil tried to bring fear to us in circumstances of life. And he wants you to grab hold of the fear. No, you stand up against it and say, "No, I'm not going to fear. God is going to show me a way." And in the name of Jesus, you back up. You leave. You take your hands off of whatever it is. You remove your influence off of either my body, my family, my mind, whatever it is. You remove your influence in the name of Jesus. And he will never forget. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew 6. Ah, yes. Right. Matthew, right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. See, that's powerful right there. Because if your heart is in your giving, that's where your heart's going to be. If your heart is in thinking like the world, that's where your heart will be also. And that's why it said, maybe we just remind ourselves, that's a good thing. Wherever your treasure is, there's where your heart is. Well, think about when we opened up in 2 Timothy, right? When you read that, it says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. That's where their heart is. And then it goes on, right? It says they will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. So their heart's not in God. Their heart's in themselves and their money. And so didn't Jesus say, and you'll perish with your stuff. Disobedient to their parents and ungrateful, they will be considered nothing sacred. So that means even in the area of giving, whether it's finances or your time, they don't consider that sacred. And it is sacred. It's a divine thing. It's a divine principle that God has set up. It's sacred. And it's not to be played around with. Same thing. What also is sacred? Receiving communion. It's sacred. And it's a holy thing. And so even where those things are concerned, God's things, when he tells us to walk in love, right? I've given you one commandment, walk in love. That's a holy thing. That's a sacred thing. So we shouldn't take that lightly. Your flesh doesn't want to walk in love. Your mind doesn't want to. But you have to purpose, just like what Paul said. He said, when I was a child, 1 Corinthians 13, I believe it's chapter verse 11, says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I understood like a child. But when I became a man, that means matured, I put away childish things. So we're going to have to keep feeding, let our heart stir up the love of God and purpose, right, to walk in the love of God and have stay connected to God and have love for him, love for people, love for his things that he's called us to do, right? Love for that. And not let that do what? Grow cold. You know, when we talk about, you know, when it says sin, this is what it said in the Passion Translation of Matthew 24. It said there will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. I believe in Romans, doesn't it say that which is not of faith is sin? So a lot of times people think sin is this, and they say, oh, it's this extreme thing. No, not operating in faith is sin. So when we just walk not in faith, God looks at that and says, that's sin. So for us, that's how your heart grows cold. Because if you don't walk in faith, what does it say? Faith works by love. So when I have love for God, I have love for people, I'm going to operate in faith. So for us, keeping our hearts stirred in faith to walk in love and to seek him and to seek the Holy Ghost, to pray in the Spirit. Isn't that what it says? Let's conclude with that. Jude, verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20, or it's only one chapter, but Jude 1, verse 20. I'll read this in the Amplified classic verse 20 and 21. It says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto eternal life." So we need to keep praying in the Spirit. Keep your heart stirred with the love of God, and you won't grow cold, and you'll continue to walk in faith, and He won't forget. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us and stirring us in this area. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for you are the teacher of the church. You live in us. We know your voice. And we thank you that you're more real to us than this ground that we stand on. You're real to us. And we thank you by faith that we know your voice, and the voice of the stranger or the devil we won't follow. And we thank you that you're unfolding and revealing the truth of God's word. And we thank you that you're leading and guiding us into all truth. And we thank you that you are Lord over our life. Jesus is Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.